In the book of James, it talks about when we hear but don't believe, we become double-minded and we're tossed about on, you know, like a ship on the sea and in the windy storms. And a lot of times what we think is, oh, that's about those hypocrites. They're double-minded, those double-minded hypocrites. It's actually about me and you. Because we're double-minded. It's one of those things that we do when translators are left-brained and not integrated in their thinking. What the word really translates, double-minded, actually means double-souled. We don't just have two competing thoughts. We have two versions of ourself. And sometimes that version of ourself is just an adult version that doesn't want to be seen by the public. But sometimes that version of ourself may be younger. Sometimes the stuff that happened to us, that froze us, happened before we had any conceptualization to be able to think the way we now think of as adults. And that could be good, it could be bad. Years ago, I was working with a woman who, when she was a child, she was in her 40s when I worked with her. When she was a child, she was kidnapped at age 9. And the kidnapper took her off to the wilderness somewhere, and whatever happened in the wilderness, when he was done with that, he wrapped her up in a burlap bag, threw her in a coal bin in this abandoned coal shed somewhere, and left her there to die. 9 years old, left to die. Have no idea if anyone's going to come save you. Imagine. I mean, I can't imagine. Polly and I have heard terrible things in the time that we do the work that we do. I can't imagine being 9 years old and trapped in a coal bin, but she lived it. And as a 43-year-old adult, she's talking to me and she says, look, I've done a lot of work on this. I think I've done some work on the trauma. I've really forgiven him. And something clicked in my mind when she said all this stuff. So she's going through this list of all the work she's done. And I said, let me just ask you this. I 100% believe you're really, you know, a sincere pursuer of truth, sincerely engaged in your process. I said, but the question I have, has the 9-year-old version of you ever forgiven him? And it's like for a moment her face shifted. First the shock of it, and then second the realization that some part of her was still 9 and stuck in a coal bin somewhere. When the nervous system gets a hold of that, when the brainstem freezes, sometimes part of the brainstem doesn't unfreeze until it's invited into the light so to do. And she was double-souled in such a way that she wasn't a hypocrite, she was stuck. The gentleman I referred to earlier that felt so much peace in his body, he'd had a moment as a 7th grader where he had such a, he was in so much pain in the circumstance he was in that he finally got up the courage to go speak to his parents and say, could I please, please get out of the circumstance? Let me tell you where I am, what's happening with me. It took a ton of courage for him to do this. And he asked his parents to please move him from where he was to a place where he felt safe. And they looked at him and said, we hear you, but no. And in his words that day talking to me about it, he said, I think in that moment, I decided that nobody was ever going to be there for me. And so I had to take care of me. And the way that I've done that is I've just taken my needs and said, I'll never ask for my needs to be met again. I'll take care of me. So somewhere there was a 7th grade version of him that was constantly fighting for his own safety. No wonder his body never felt at rest. And then, the last story I'll tell, sweet friend of mine, incredible songwriter, worship leader, and just gifted at a number of different things. She came down to do an intensive one time, a couple years back, and I'll tell two stories because there's a story that comes out of this one. She sat in front of me and she described a circumstance she'd been through that was pretty traumatic, and she said, I just feel like there's a part of me that's just been stuck. Like I can stand in front of people and lead worship, I can, you know, teach, I can do all these things, but somewhere I feel like there's a part of me that's just stuck. She said, I feel like there's nothing I can do about it. And I thought, well, I think I know someone who can do something about that. So why don't we pause for a minute and just ask the Lord what he wants to do about that? So I just had her, like Polly did with you guys a few moments ago, and like we're gonna do together in just a minute, I just had her pause and just get still and say, Lord, would you show me where I'm stuck. In a split second, she saw a picture in her mind. And this is, by the way, this is not visualization. We're not trying to get people into New Age. It's the way the Lord communicates. We call it a vision. She saw a picture in her mind of a younger version of herself in the dungeon of a castle. It wasn't a real event, but as a way her internal self represented her being stuck. in the dungeon of a castle. It's very, very Disney-esque, and whatever you think about that, that's not the point right now. But in the dungeon of a castle, surrounded by a moat, surrounded by briars, you know, briars, they're the thing that, it's like quicksand. When you're a kid, you think everything is briars and quicksand, right? So it's completely surrounded, and there's a dragon guarding it. And she felt just stuck in the dungeon of this place. And I said, but you know, I know someone who will come rescue you. So we just asked and said, Jesus, would you come get my friend? And she said, in a split second, he didn't fight a dragon. He didn't fight through the briars. All that stuff went away, and he was next to her. And she wasn't even in the room that she thought she was in, and she wasn't even laying out sleeping on the table like Sleeping Beauty. She was sitting up, and he was holding her. And he carried her out of that place and took her to a place where there was sunshine. And the young version of her came and came into the light, and she went from being double-souled to being single-souled and wrote some beautiful music about it. But the real point is she became more herself in that moment. I told that story and did the exercise we're about to do together with another small group at our old counseling center. And in telling that, one of our intercessors was standing behind the group praying, and she said, well, we're doing that rescue moment, asking God to come find the part of you that's stuck. Our intercessor, and she's told this story publicly, as both of them have, so I'm not telling someone else's story without permission. She said, I remembered a moment, like as we're praying through this, I remembered a moment when I was 11 years old, and my dad picked me up and threw me against the wall, and I crumpled on the floor at the bottom of that wall. She said, that's the moment everything fell apart. Can you imagine, right? But she said in that moment, and as we went through this exercise together, she said she saw Jesus come through the living room door and push her dad back, pick her up from the floor at the bottom of that wall, carry her out the front door, and take her away from that home. In real life, what happened is her mother had the wherewithal to get her out of that situation from that point on. That was all that the mom needed at that point to get her out. Now, that's not everyone's story, by the way. Some people are still in it. But for her, she began to recognize that Jesus actually got her out, and he represented that to her by showing up in the picture he gave her, taking her away from the bottom of that wall, and that 11-year-old part of her that had been stuck, slammed against that wall and stuck there all the way up until her 40s, came and met her in a field full of flowers, and the three of them, Jesus, the 11-year-old part and the 40-year-old part, hugged together, and the double-souled person became one. Listen, not everybody's stuck like that, but if you are, you're stuck. So what I'd love for us to do is just take a moment and just ask if there's a part of you that Jesus wants to talk to you about, show you, and go get for you. So let's close our eyes. We all know that we have need. But sometimes it's the vulnerability and fear of that need that causes us to build the false self. But for a moment, consider trusting that Jesus wants that part of you too. Not only wants that part of you, but gave his life to heal that part of you. So Father, first of all, would you make this place, this room, each seat in this room, just a place of safety and sanctuary. A place where only your voice and only your presence has power. And Lord, for each person where they sit, would you just begin to tell them, but show them, hey, there's a part of you that's stuck. You might have been 3 and you might have been 30. Every one of your stories is different. But if you'll open your heart to let him show you, Lord, would you show if and where any one of us might have a part that's stuck? A child, a teenager. And Lord, for just a moment, show them where they're stuck and what lies they're believing. But Lord, well, we know that there comes a day that you'll break through the clouds and come for us all. Today might be that day that you break through the walls and come for that part of our heart that's been stuck. Lord, we don't know how to get to you, but would you right now come and find us? Stuck in a coal bin, stuck inside a decision we made, crumpled as a heap on the bottom of a wall where we were thrown. Would you come to us and find us? And Lord, as you come to where we are, those places we're stuck inside, would you send away the objects of our fear and the source of our pain? In those moments where we're stuck, would you send away the source of our fear and the source of our pain? And then, Father, as you send fleeing those enemies, would you turn and speak to us? The small child in a dark room, the young adult alone in a hotel room, the young mother at home with a child she doesn't know what to do with. Would you speak to them right there and help them hear the kind of truth that you would deliver to someone who's been trapped for so very long? And then, Lord, as you speak loving, compassionate, potent truth, would you take them from that place to the place that you want to show them? Would you carry them from that place of pain and confusion and darkness, despair, and carry them to whatever place you want them to see you and know you better? Father, sometimes when we've been double-souled like that, when a part of us has split off and stayed stuck, that part might even resent the part that's gone on and to build a life without them. But you're a master at making two become one. And would you reintroduce the grown version of us that sits here today to the part of us that you've gone to rescue? Allow them to see each other through your eyes, through your purposes, and in your presence. And then, Father, as you reintroduce, would you help them find each other to be two parts of a greater whole? And would you do for them that miraculous thing that you do is called two become one? Would you restore? You told us that to enter the kingdom, we must become like a child. And sometimes we've so lost that child part, We don't know how, but part of us does. So Lord, as you restore that child part, would you give the younger part and the older part the gift of each other? Again, I'm aware this exercise is not for everybody. But if that's not your experience, please be praying for those who are experiencing that right now. I'm just going to leave for a moment us to sit in silence, let the Lord do his work. And after that moment of silence, we'll be done for the morning.